on superhumanradio.com lately. Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to superhumanradio.com today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a really, really great show today, and it really was spontaneous. I had another show planned for today, but had an opportunity to have two great guests on the show, and that is Brad Schoenfeld and Brett Contreras. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing great, Carl.
Excellent, excellent. And really scooping a story here. There will be a study published very, very shortly, probably within the next 60 days, and we are actually talking about it ahead of publication, and it's a study that's published and authored by my two guests today, Brad Schoenfeld and Brett Contreras, called The Muscle Pump, Potential Mechanism and Applications for Enhancing Hypertrophic Adaptations. And really, some people may think it's a continuation of, some people may think it's the end-all, be-all to the discussion of, is there different types of training for hypertrophy versus strength? So first of all, I'm going to start with Brad, okay? Why this study? What was this something that you had these questions yourself and wanted to put some sort of end answer to it all?
Yeah, and let me just clarify. It's not a study. This is actually a review paper. It's in the strength and, it will be published in the Strength and Conditioning Journal, but it's a review of literature, and then we hypothesize as to potential applications of it. But yeah, I mean, as a researcher, I have been a practitioner for almost two decades, and what I do is I try to look for things that, while I'm training people and through my practical experience, what do I see and what do I think would be something that needs to be clarified in the literature. And this is something that I've been looking at for almost a dozen years now, and I've spoken to Brett about this over the years, and both of us had a keen interest in it, and we've actually been planning to do this paper for a while, so it all came to fruition fairly recently, and we're very excited to see it in print.
And you've talked about on my show in past interviews we've done about the triad of hypertrophy, which is mechanical tension, metabolic stress, and muscle damage. And we did the show on metabolic stress itself one time, you and
correct.
I. So this is still holding true in this meta-analysis that you're doing as well, right?
Yeah, and again, it wasn't a meta-analysis. It's a review. It's a narrative review paper. But this, yeah, it's the culmination. And what you have to realize is that the pump is somewhat a function of metabolic stress. So it kind of is a side application, as we kind of touched on it in our last discussion. But the research is compelling, specifically as to cellular hydration, as to the pump. Well, when we talk about the pump, that really is a bodybuilding term, but cellular hydration is how a muscle swells up. And cell swelling, really, it's almost incontrovertible that it does cause not only increased protein synthesis, but also reduces protein breakdown. Really where the gray area is that the pump is a transient effect. So it's going to last for a half hour or so, maybe an hour, depending upon another person in the training after a workout. And that's kind of where it's not so clear as to, is that enough of a stimulus? And if so, how much would be required or for how much would that actually mediate these type of adaptations?
Okay. So Brett Contreras, of these three, dynamics, mechanical tension, metabolic stress, and muscle damage, is there one that plays a greater role in this whole scenario, do you believe?
So Brad and I have discussed this many times. We both think that tension is king, But just within mechanical tension, you've got, you know, you've got peak tension, you've got mean tension, you've got time under tension. So you've got, you know, you can just stretch a muscle and get passive tension. You contract a muscle, you get active tension. So we don't know the, you know, the perfect blend, you know, the perfect formula with tension or with metabolic stress or with muscle damage. We both feel that there's an optimal combination of the three elements. We're very far off from knowing that combination, but we think tension is, you know, it's pretty clear that tension is the you know, the granddaddy, and then metabolic stress would be second, a close second.
Well, couldn't you say that metabolic stress actually could be a byproduct of mechanical tension? So for instance, like something I've been experimenting with, right? My quads, while they're strong as heck, they seem not to grow, but they started growing when I started doing heavy static leg extensions to where I was holding my legs locked out for 40 to 50 seconds with the entire stack on them, and my whole body would be quivering. And when I would let them go, not only would I be almost paralyzed mechanically in those muscles, but the pump was insane. Wouldn't you say that tension begets the metabolic stress that's produced?
So this is what I tried to do in an article I recently wrote. I tried to explain how these three factors are related. And you're exactly right. So, you know, like high rep sets, so when you have constant tension, you're occluding the vessels, and so the blood gets trapped, and so you can get high metabolic stress through hypoxia, but also through the self-swelling mechanism that Brad discussed. And so, if you get high tension in the stretched position, like think of all the exercises that make you the most sore, like lunges for the glutes or, like RDLs for the hamstrings. It's because you have a lot of tension in a stretched position. So those create high muscle damage. Muscle damage can actually create self-swelling too. I'm sure you've had a workout where you were kind of swollen the next day. And so these factors are all interrelated, and that's why it's so hard to pinpoint, which mechanism, because they're all related, it's hard to isolate the mechanisms. But kind of the gist of the discussion today is that, you know, a lot of strength coaches or personal trainers over the last decade, you know, I think we had a good shift. It used to just be, you know, because Arnold loved the pump, we'll just go into the gym, train for a pump, and ignore getting stronger. And you have all these pretty boys that would achieve, you know, like reasonably fair physique development by just going in and repping out. But they're not going to get the bodies they desire because they don't focus on tension. They don't focus on getting stronger, progressive overload, putting more tension on the muscles over time. But then we saw the pendulum swing, all the way towards the direction of don't even worry about the pump, don't do high reps, just get stronger in lower rep ranges at the compound exercises. And that's not optimal either, because I'm sure you've gone a while without training your arms or, you know, a certain muscle directly, and then once you start training it directly with higher reps, you'll see a sudden boost in growth. So,
right. You
know, on the one end of the spectrum, you have solely heavy maximal weight. On the other end, you have just, you know, pump work with lightweight repping out, and it's a continuum, and the optimal combination would be, you know, to do somewhere in the middle where you're incorporating all three types of stimuli.
Yeah, and when we come out of the break, I want to get into the whole discussion, does hypertrophy beget strength from a mechanical aspect? But the research, and I'm going to go to Brad now, the research shows that there's a second pathway that seems to be, everybody knows about mTOR, right? mTOR is king, and leucine increases mTOR, and everybody's chasing mTOR. But there seems to be an independent pathway, independent of mTOR, that seems to be stimulated by tension that leads to hypertrophy. Is that not true?
Yeah, well, there are actually multiple signaling pathways that have been elucidated in the recent past. And mTOR is considered to be kind of the molecular nodal point, if you will, that drives hypertrophy. And certainly it's been shown that if you blunt mTOR, you're going to significantly blunt hypertrophy. But there are other pathways, and not to get too technical here, but we have what are called the mitogen-activated protein kinase pathways, MAPKs. And there are multiple pathways. Now, they actually have some direction into mTOR, but it's also thought they can function independently. There are calcium-dependent pathways, which are, as the name would imply, they are driven by calcium release. So, and there's even others. So,
well, the one I was thinking about was one you wrote about in the published document was the phosphatidic acid pathway.
Well, right.
I'm not familiar with this. Yeah. So talk about
correct.
That a little bit.
The phosphatidic acid actually does drive. It's been shown to function in both an mTOR dependent as well as an independent manner. So it's thought that phosphatidic acid can actually directly stimulate translation through what's called P70S6K, S6 kinase. So all these pathways, one of the things that people have to understand is that we're still, as much as research, and research is coming so fast and so quick, but we're still in the infancy, really, of figuring out how all of these pathways interact and what drives them. You talked about leucine. Well, leucine actually is only one way that mTOR is driven. It actually, through mechanical tension, phosphatidic acid, PA, is thought to be a much greater driver than the leucine, the IGF-1 pathway. So these are all things that really need a lot more elucidation, and that is actually one of the areas that I am investigating in my own research. So,
okay.
We should be knowing more soon.
Do me a favor. I want to give time for both of you to plug your websites. Brad, would you plug yours first, please?
Yeah, sure. My main website is lookgreatnaked.com, and my blog is workout911.com. They actually all go through the same site, but lookgreatnaked.com. You can get a lot of cool stuff.
And Brett Contreras could be attributed to the guy who got me started doing hip thrusts, by the way, but not because I want a great butt, because I wanted greater strength at the bottom of my deadlift. And by the way, I had a new PR this past week, 485 hip thrusts on a bench for 8 reps. What do you think about that, Brett?
Nice. That's very impressive.
Okay, so plug your website, please, and your recent book.
It's brettcontreras.com. I have I blog a lot. I blog like 4 times a week. And my book is Strong Curves. I wrote with Kelly Davis. She and I appeared on Superhuman Radio a few months ago to plug that book. But that's mainly for women who are seeking greater glute development. But men can use the same program. I just market it towards women because women are more apt to admit that they want to train the glutes.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And who doesn't want a great butt in these days? So anyway, you can get it by getting that book. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Lots of great questions. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need: small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rad Schoenfeld and Brett Contreras about their recently published document, The Muscle Pump, Potential Mechanism and Application for Enhancing Hypertrophic Adaptations. Because this is something that we've been discussing ad infinitum since the beginning of physical culture. And this particular question that I'm going to pose right now has been one that has had people line up on two different sides of a fence, arguing that hypertrophy begets strength, and others who say chasing strength begets hypertrophy. So the question that I want to pose to Brett for a second is there any evidence that plumping up the muscle fiber changes the geometry in such a way that because of the way it is now contracting or pulling, if you will, there is a greater acquisition of strength when we chase the pump, so to speak?
Really, really ironic that you ask this question, because I've actually never heard the question asked. I've never seen an article written on the topic, but I have stumbled upon research that shows that, increasing muscle size, when you increase muscle size, you're going to do a couple of things that influence its torque production capabilities. First of all, imagine, any muscle, like the deltoid, the biceps, the glutes, whatever. Imagine a rounder muscle. Well, you can kind of change the angle. You have a better angle of attack on that joint, on the bone, because, the more perpendicular you get to that bone, the greater the percentage of force that's going to be directed.
And this is exactly, in my mind, I pictured the a cross section of a muscle fiber, right, and cutting it in half. So you basically have an apex, let's say, pointing to the left, and you have these two strands, which would be the wall of the muscle fiber. And so I imagine that there's guys in a tug of war type of a position holding onto these two strands. And I'm thinking, well, if they're really, really close together and there's very small angle in their two strands and they're pulling, don't they see an increase in torque production using the same force when they get further apart?
This is exactly, I wrote about this in this product I made called Hip Extension Torque. And I wrote exactly about that, and I've seen two research papers on this topic, and I've never heard any strength expert talk about it, but that's exactly true. A bigger muscle, the muscle belly pushes out further, it's further away from, the joint center, and so it has better torque capabilities in that manner. It has a longer, the outer muscle fibers have greater muscle moment arms, and so you're absolutely right, and that's why I feel, like you look at most powerlifters, probably 90% of powerlifters, they all do assistance work after their,
right,
you know, after their specific, you know, they'll do their squats or their deadlifts or their bench, or their close grip bench or good mornings, whatever they do, their heavy work first. And then they follow that up with, you know, their assistance lifts, and they always do their assistance lifts in higher rep ranges, kind of like how bodybuilders do, because
right,
they have realized that bigger muscles are stronger muscles.
Okay.
Not just because of the increased cross-sectional area or physiological cross-sectional area. It's also due to, you know, biomechanical reasons that,
and that
you just mentioned.
That was exactly my wondering. So, okay, so now we're going to go to Brad for a second, okay? So can we put this to rest once and for all? If you were to train, and I know you didn't do any research on strength training, per se, from the standpoint of acquisition of exclusively strength, the lower reps, you know, not as much time under tension, clearly not as much metabolic waste products being developed. But can we finally put to rest and say, look, it's not that one doesn't help the other, but clearly the most efficient path to acquire both simultaneously is to train more like a bodybuilder?
Can we put it to rest? No, we have a lot of good evidence that might be the case, but it's still equivocal. And it's interesting you bring that up, because I am about to start data collection on my dissertation work, which specifically is going to look at that topic, looking at training in a powerlifting type style versus a bodybuilding style, with trained subjects, and looking to see in a volume equated fashion if there is differences in terms of hypertrophy. It might just be that the ability to have increased volume is what drives the hypertrophic response. So again, this is such a complex topic, Carl. We know a lot of things in isolation, so we can look in vitro, with a lot of the cell swelling stuff that's done in vitro, and we can certainly show that when you swell a cell through hydration, it's going to increase its protein synthetic capacity, and it's also going to reduce protein degradation. Whether that actually translates in vivo in terms of the application while you're training is somewhat, these are things that are much difficult to study. The confounding nature of the human body makes it hard to look at these things in isolation. So
yeah.
I will say with good confidence that there are multiple styles that can bring about hypertrophy, and that my current theory is, and my working hypothesis, is that there is a optimal combination, as Brett kind of talked about earlier, and I've discussed with him, that my original concept with the three mechanisms, the tension, metabolic stress, and damage, that there is some optimal combination, and it might not, by the way, it might not be and probably wouldn't be an optimal combination for everyone, because of the differences in physiology, there's going to be slight differences in how people respond. So anyway, like I said, I hope to finish data collection by the end of the fall, and I will have, hopefully I can come back on your show at that time, and we can have some very good material to discuss about it.
Yeah, very good. All right, so now Brett, we know that as it's detailed in this paper, that the pump seems to be transient. It's transient in both post-workout as well as sometimes intra-workout. It could disappear during the workout. Is the indication that the pump is disappearing during the workout, or rather, is when the pump disappears during the workout an indication of anything, like we've gone too far, or we've failed to hit the sweet spot any longer, or we've exceeded the potential for the muscle to take advantage of this phenomenon?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say so. What I recommend, Carl, is that you know, do your, like, if you want to get, you know, a better physique, over time you need to be getting stronger. Now, that doesn't mean to say that bodybuilders always keep getting stronger year in and year out. There's, to get your best physique, there's body composition factors, and then there's just muscle quality. There's different angles of, you know, different muscle fibers that you need to hit to, you know, round out the muscle and things like that. But most beginners don't need to worry about that. They need to be getting stronger. So do your strength work, do your heavy work, do your compound exercises, and then pick something, you know, after that's done. Like, you don't have to go for the pump while you're doing your bench press. You're trying to rest enough, like during bench press, rest enough in between sets to really get good strength output, get good force output out of the bench. So you don't need to do like 45-second rest periods when you do bench. This is just my personal take, by the way. There's a lot of ways you can, you know, see results in the gym and write successful programs. But I think it makes the most sense to do the heavier strength work first and then follow that up with something that gives you the pump. And in this manner, it's not stressful to the body. It doesn't stress the nervous system because you don't say, I got to get better at my four sets of 15, you know, whatever, pec deck or, you know,
right.
rope tricep extensions or concentration curls or something. You're not seeking progressive overload week in and week out on those. You're just trying to get the pump. So you can do two main options. One is to do high rep sets with, like, say, 60 seconds rest, like a set of 30, rest 60 seconds, do another set of 30, and that will give you, if you pick the right exercises, which is a whole other question, which exercises to choose for the pump, because some are better suited than others. But if you do it that way, you'll get a pump. Or you can do multiple sets of, like, you know, 8 to 12 reps with, like, you know, like 30-second rest periods where you do a set. So you don't get a pump the first set, but
right.
So you're doing, like, 8 sets of it, you know, with shorter rest periods, and you get a crazy pump that way, too. That's the, you know, and so you don't look to get the pump the first exercise of the workout and keep the pump all the way through. You're just throwing in some extra pump work at the end of the workout and, you know, something that's going to give you the pump, and then you get that added stimulus. Maybe it makes a difference of 10%, but over time that adds up.
Well, and now, Brad, does it have to be done during the same training session? So, for instance, I just trained chest on Saturday, and I went back in today, and I really, without anticipating this interview, I did 50% of my normal weight and just shot for 100 reps, five sets of 20 reps in every movement I did, just to kind of fill the muscles, evacuate some of the byproducts of the damage I did, and feel like I did a workout. So was that because I didn't do that during the same session where I did my heavy work? Did I lose something, an opportunity?
No, not at all. I mean, any speculation on that would be completely hypothetical. You can do a daily undulating type of thing, like what you're talking about. You have a heavy strength day, and then a pump day, and then a moderate rep day. And Brent kind of touched on this, but there's so many different ways to carry out. And it's one of the limitations of research is that when you do a research study, you study one routine versus another, and there's doesn't mean that routine that was studied was an optimal way of doing it, and not only even optimal for that particular person. So, yeah, I mean, personally, I like to do both. I think one of the techniques that I find to be very effective is called a drop set, which I'm sure you're familiar with,
right.
Where you can do a heavy set, and then you follow that with a light set, and drop sets usually I'll relegate towards the last set of the set itself, or the number of sets. So let's say you're doing three or four sets, that's third or fourth set, you do the drop set on, or a double drop set, to really get a pump. And alternatively, I like to do it in an undulating fashion where it's done specifically on a given day and not worry about it on another day. So very, very many ways that you can try this out. And one thing that I do want to point out, and I love telling my students this and mention this in my lectures, is that training is a science and an art, so I can give you the science, and I can tell you how I go about the art, and Brett can tell you how he goes about the art. But ultimately, the artistic aspect, there's just so many different ways to go about this, and ultimately you not only have to go by your own experience, but by the individual. So some individuals respond better towards one way than another, and these are things that the N equals 1, as long as that N equals 1 is on that given person,
right.
That's going to ultimately be what drives the best results in that person.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Go ahead, Brian. Yeah, please.
Let me chime in real quick.
Please.
In this manner, I'd like to stray from conventional wisdom as well. For example, Brad mentioned that it's very specific to the individual. I will tell you, I get such an insane pump in my quads if I do, like, interval like high intensity interval training on the bicycle for my quads.
Mm-hmm.
If I do, so that would be something that I would finish up my weight training workout by hopping on the bike and doing, you know, like 20 seconds as you know, as hard and fast as possible, and then coasting for, you know, like 60 seconds, and then repeating that like 8 times, and my quads are just blown up. Some people don't get that same pump in their quads, some people do. So it's kind of like find the stuff that works for you that gives you the pump.
Well, and I want to speak to that, and I was going to mention something that, you know, there was a study done not too long ago that both of you are probably familiar with that looked at doing cardio, quote unquote, post training, having a greater ability to elicit hypertrophy than pre training or even intra training. And so we talked about that with Adele Musa on this show and came away with that it was actually spot specific. And that made me start doing upper body ergometer work on chest and back day to finish off the workout. 10 minutes of it. Now there's some speculation that there is something going on with glycogen depletion post workout. But clearly when I do that, my shoulder, like on chest day and shoulder day, my chest and my pecs bulge from doing that. So clearly I am pumping these muscles up that have already spent a lot of time under tension and, met all of the other, prerequisites to, now start rebuilding. And I'm giving it this little extra, pump effect, if you will. And at the same time, maybe even, irrigating some of the metabolic waste products out faster. So this speaks to what you're talking about. It makes perfect sense. But we have to take a break, but I want to talk about this when we come out of the break. So we understand that this pump, in order to develop it, it's required compression of veins while arteries are still bringing blood in. So you have blood, the egress is stopped, but I always get those mixed up. The exit of the blood is stopped while the entry of the blood is amplified. And so you get this pump. But now we have a lot of people out there that are experimenting with KAATSU because they don't have the genetics to develop pumps in certain body parts. I want to talk about this when we come back. Okay, guys?
Great.
All right. Sure. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're going to go right to break. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I've been watching you. A la 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 long. A la 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 long, longly long, long.
Welcome back. As you see, we have a new sponsor, and that is BioAge. They make an amazing microalgae product you must learn about. We're going to be talking about it next week on the air. I am convinced that this is one of those foundational supplements that people need to look to. Enhance performance, cleanse. I mean, it's got so many benefits, it's ridiculous. Research has shown that it can even protect people against radiation poisoning. It was used at Chernobyl and with great success. So, when you're at superhumanradio.com, please click the BioAge Bio Superfood banner ad and learn more about it. Okay, so first of all, and this has to be addressed in a couple questions. I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to start with Brett. So, Brett, some of us are genetically predisposed to produce pumps in some body parts and not others. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and I think most people with experimentation can kind of figure out the best way to get those pumps. It's not the same for every person.
Okay, so now I'm going to go to Brad. Are there some body parts that tend to be harder to develop this cellular hydration? For instance, me, it's my chest. I do whatever I can to get a pump in my chest, but I really have to work at it.
Yeah, first of all, I would agree with Brett that with experimentation, you can generally do better. But yeah, I mean, certainly an area like, part of it has to do with the types of exercises that you're using. So, things that you can, exercises you can maintain more constant tension on allow for greater pumps. So when you're doing single joint exercises, things like the biceps certainly are going to tend to be able to get a better pump than, let's say, the back muscles will. And a lot of times the legs. So yeah, I mean, certainly there are, body parts, and part of that is due to the exercises that are used themselves, and part of it also is due to the circulatory delivery. That's when you have large circulatory delivery, larger muscles can tend to be harder to get the pump in.
Well, and that leads me to that's why I said the genetics for a pump. So is it possible, since the phenomenon of a pump, unassisted, and we're going to talk about Kyatsu in a second, but since the phenomenon of the pump depends on a compression to occur that kind of chokes off the veins so the blood can't get out while the arteries and the heart, through the arteries, continue to pump blood into the muscle. Are there some people out there that, A, either because of the vasculature or hemodynamics that they genetically are predisposed to, because we don't have all the same veins in all the same places, that they just will not develop a pump easily in some muscles?
Well, not just that, Carl, but their ability to activate a muscle. You know, and this is what bodybuilders talk about, you know, this mind-muscle connection. some people, like, for example, I would say probably the worst is glutes. I get up so many beginners. I swear to God, Carl, I'll say, squeeze your, like from a standing position, squeeze your glutes. Let me feel you contract it. Some of them can't even contract their glutes. Same with like women and their lats initially. They don't know how to flex their lats. Over time, you know, with exercise and with conscious effort, you can improve your ability to contract the muscle. You improve your, you know, your neurological efficiency. And so then I would speculate that you'd increase your ability to achieve that pump. But then the vascular side of things, I don't know about that, because we all have veins and arteries. Sure, they're not the same, but Brad, what do you think about that?
I would agree totally that the I wouldn't think the anatomic differences would make much of a difference. We all have roughly, obviously, there's going to be slight variations in terms of how that how our bodies work. But I mean, we have mostly the same vasculature within our bodies, more or less. And I don't think that would be the greatest influence there.
Okay.
It's finding the best, like Carl, if you, like for chest, you say you struggle to achieve a pump with the chest. Well, you know, so you can try, like, so you have to look at the exercises, their torque angle curves, and some exercises that have a, you know, really stress the stretch position. A lot of times those are the most popular exercises, like squats for the glutes.
I never activated my glutes, I realized, until I started doing hip thrusts. In fact, when I finish doing a set of hip thrusts and I sit down, I feel like I have wallets in both of my pockets. The lower portion of my glutes get such an insane pump that I feel like I'm sitting on tennis balls.
Yeah, I trained a power lifter yesterday who is funny. He's my friend now, but he used to make fun of hip thrusts and say, who would ever do them? They're so silly. But he's having trouble using his glutes in the deadlift. He thinks that's his weak link. So I said, try hip thrust. I mean, his first session, he's doing, you know, 315 to 405 for sets of five. He's very strong, but he's never seen a pump like that in his life. He said he felt like his glutes were going to pull.
Right.
But that's why this whole metabolic stress thing, most of my female clients, and if you go to my blog, Carl, promise me at some point you'll go to my blog and look at the testimonial section, and you look at these girls' glute transformations. It's incredible. They never felt their glutes burn before. Like, it's easy to do so in certain muscles, not so easy in other muscles. You need to be doing the proper exercises for it. So if you've never gotten that metabolic stress stimulus by feeling the burn in the glutes and feeling like, you know, the glutes are limiting, like, the glutes are burning so bad I can't get another rep. You don't feel that with squats and lunges and things like that. So you got to be doing the best exercises for metabolic stress and for achieving the pump. And I think that I credit a lot that to a lot of these incredible transformations.
Okay, so now, Brad, Kyatsu, does this contribute to the discussion? Should people be looking at it now that we understand that you can actually almost artificially inseminate a pump?
Absolutely. I actually have a review article on flexor restricted training, just pulled ahead of print, that's coming out shortly in Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. And self-swelling is certainly one of the mechanisms that is theorized to drive the hypertrophy seen in the BFR training. Now, again, it's the same type of principle. If you do it properly, you are compressing really the veins, not the arteries. So there's still going to be blood delivered into the muscle, and you're going to get this pooling of the blood in the interstitial spaces, which is then going to, you're going to have a gradient going back in. Once the set is over, you're going to have what's called reactive hyperemia, where the blood then rushes back in, and that will cause the pump. I do want to also, I think it's important to understand the theoretical mechanisms here, is that the reason that we believe this pump, and certainly the reason that self-swelling, we believe the self-swelling, does have these anabolic effects and anti-catabolic effects, is that it's a threat to the cell's ultrastructure. Basically, the cell is perceiving a threat to its integrity. Mm. So think about a balloon. If you keep blowing up a balloon, at some point it's going to burst. Well, when a cell gets hydrated, it's stretching the outside layer of the cell, the membrane of the cell, and the cell, there are what's called osmosensors within the cell that perceive the stress and stretch and think of it as a stress to the system that is unwanted. And in order to avoid some type of bursting of the cell, if you will, it then increases protein synthesis, reduces protein breakdown to reinforce its ultrastructure to become stronger and thus have greater hypertrophy. So certainly there's a good theoretical basis for it, and that's why we do feel pretty confident in saying that the pump certainly can drive a hypertrophic response.
Well,
you know, Brad, I just thought about this, but it's essentially a form of Davis's law. I mean, you've got Wolf's law of bone, which states that, you know, the bone remodeling adapts to the according to the stress placed upon it, and then Davis's law is kind of the corollary applying to soft tissue with that. To soft tissue, adapts according to the demands placed upon it.
Well, and I have to take our last commercial break for this interview, but when I come back, I actually want to go a little deeper in this, because there's a lot of people who go, well, if you develop larger muscles from cell swelling over time, it goes away, because if you stop training, it goes away. But if you develop a greater degree of protein synthesis and a lot of, you know, obviously there's a lot of discussion. Does hyperplasia happen in humans? Does it only happen in mice? And so on and so forth. But clearly this elicits an anabolic response in some very important growth factors right in the muscles. So does this translate to larger muscles that are easy to maintain, that you don't have to keep chasing the pump, so to speak? So we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll address that. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld and Brett Contreras. We're talking about the muscle pump and its mechanism of application for growing bigger muscles. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. Kinetic Cream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetic Cream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay. So, Brad, you were the first person to explain to me the different isoforms of IGF-1, more specifically one that we call mechanogrowth factor, but I think you said it was IGF-1 isoform E. Is that correct?
EC, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so these growth factors are expressed intracellularly, correct, when this pump effect or this cellular hydration effect occurs. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, mechanogrowth factor is a works in an autocrine paracrine fashion. So, yeah, it is expressed in the muscle itself. And, yeah, and cell swelling has been shown to have effects on not only on growth factors, by the way, but also there is some evidence that it increases satellite cell expression, that it increased the activity and proliferation of satellite cells. So there's multiple mechanisms. Again, it's a little difficult to, some of the research is not really clear based upon how it's done to draw specific conclusions through the pump. But certainly cell swelling does have multiple mechanisms as we discussed earlier.
Okay, so, and this is where, you injected satellite cells, no pun intended. And so yep. This is obviously where the discussion of hyperplasia occurs, new muscle fiber deployment and creation, more satellite cells and so on. So can we extrapolate from the research, perhaps not 100% unabashedly, yes, it happens, but to some degree that if it's going to happen, if hyperplasia is going to happen in muscles, if the increase in new muscle fiber creation is going to happen, it would happen in a type of training that elicits this type of tension that produces the pump?
I would not make that leap. And I would just, based on the literature, again, there are some limitations to the literature, to research, but the overriding compelling body of research suggests that if hyperplasia does occur, it is not going to be have significant contributions to hypertrophy. The majority of hypertrophy would occur through parallel additions of sarcomeres. Now, could there be some effects of hyperplasia? Perhaps it might contribute somewhat. To me, the jury is still out in that area.
Brett, how does this research play into recovery from injuries for individuals? Let's say, just the other day we had a question from a listener who had bilateral hip replacement and he can't squat any longer. He wants to maintain muscle mass. Does this allow finally to quote unquote train smarter and still maintain adequate muscle size?
Yeah, I think that's just higher reps in general, though, not, and starting off with exercises that don't cause any pain and just gradually increasing range of motion and load and things like that. But I think I've worked with people who had hip replacement surgery, start them off with hip thrusts and glute bridges and hip thrusts and things like that. Those are the exercises that do tend to create a pump in the glutes, but you can start them off, once they can start squatting, you do very high box squats, just get them used to sitting back and getting their knees out and then gradually increasing the range of motion, lower the box height to where they're performing full squats over time. And then you can introduce single leg stuff, but it's just higher, starting off with higher reps, really controlling, the reps and things like that. Should they chase the pump? I mean, if they're physique people, then yeah, of course they should, focus on pump training rather than trying to elicit the greatest tension possible, because that's going to overstress their joints and, prevent, recovery.
So, and I want to go. I'm going to ask each of you this question separately. But what do you, Brad? What do you hope clinicians and lay people take away from this research? And then the second part of the question is, after performing this research, what does this point your compass at now for further research? So let's start with you with those two questions.
Yeah, it's a great question. And to me, the overriding thing that comes out of this is, number one, the importance of training in different if you're looking for maximal hypertrophy, that really, to me, there is compelling a reason to train in multiple rep ranges, not just to do strength training, a heavy strength training, or not necessarily just to do light pumper moderate to light pump training, but to use a combination to train across a broad spectrum of repetition ranges and also to focus on the types of movements that you use, because Brett pointed out earlier how different exercises will have different effects on the pump versus muscle damage and have different torque effects in different ranges. And by the way, and one last thing, which we haven't touched on, is when you do train for the pump, another important thing is to try to maintain tension as much as possible in the muscle by not locking out. And this has been shown, there's actually been a couple of studies that have looked at this, where maintaining soft knees, if you will, let's say in a leg extension, a leg press, or with your bicep curls, not going to full lockout, where you're going to maintain this the pump within the muscle, you're going to maintain the compression of the vessels, that can help to maximize the cellular swelling response.
Wouldn't that only apply to movements where the lockout releases the weight, so to speak? I mean, I would argue that the leg extension, you should lock out, because that just increases the tension, because the force is perpendicular to the joints, movement. Mm-hmm. But on a chest movement, I would say, don't lock your elbows out, because you're transferring the weight to the bones of your arms. You're releasing your pec muscles and your shoulders and your triceps.
Well, that depends on fly. Like if you're doing flies, you're right. But if you're doing,
bench press,
stable crossovers, then you can, so that's why Brad and I we get along so well. I'm more into the biomechanical aspect of things. He's more into the physiological aspect of things. But you have to look at the torque angle curves and show some exercises maintain, like a hip thrust, tension is always on the glutes throughout the whole range of motion. But on, if you're looking at, you know, the flies for the pecs, the top range tension is dissipated. So, you're exactly right.
Or bench press. If you lock your elbows out in the bench press, now the bones are really holding the weight. Your pecs can actually relax to a great degree, your triceps and everything else.
Correct.
So,
correct. And mentioned like a leg press as well.
Yeah. So this is why you have to be sensible about this. But the idea is if you're doing a movement, and at some point in the movement, you are losing the tension on the muscle, you need to alter the way you do that movement to maintain the tension for longer periods of time.
Yep.
That's the bottom
line. Correct.
Okay. And so now where does this take you? Well, let me give this to Brett, I guess, because you did a great, eloquent job at answering what you hope people take away from it. Brett, where does this take you now? What is this point at now for future research for you two guys?
Well, I would just like to keep, you know, Brad's PhD is going to look at, the effects of basically a powerlifting type protocol versus a bodybuilding type protocol. But that's just the start. Then we need to, what you learn from every study. So then whatever, you know, we learn from his research, then we form a new hypothesis and we keep following along those lines to where each study we can get another piece of the puzzle and get, you know, further our understanding. But my hypothesis would be that over time, you know, maybe not in Brad and my lifetime, but maybe in the next 10, 15, 20 years, we have a lot more information to guide us as to, you know, you want to do your heavy work, you want to do your medium work, you want to do your higher rep work, and here's the best way to combine all that together, and here's the mechanisms. Here's the precise mechanisms through how they work, and you know this part is redundant, so you don't need to do this, but you do need to do this. And I don't know, there's so much to it. Brad, that's where Brad's expertise comes in. He knows these pathways so well. But that's I would like to see many more training studies, because we have a lot of the mechanistic studies done, but not enough training studies that show actual, you know, programs that actual lifters might use. And what results those have.
Well, and we may have that, because more and every day, some small faction of the medical orthodoxy starts to go, wow, you know, we've ignored the importance of muscle, and we're finding out that, muscle is metabolic currency, it wards off chronic diseases, it mitigates side effects and symptoms, and there's a study on an article on our article section of the website, which I'm going to go talk about after the break, that shows that exercise may be the best thing for Alzheimer's patients, better than any other treatment. So as the medical orthodoxy starts to go, you know, I know we've ignored the importance of muscle for a long time. I mean, look at BMI. Then these studies become more relevant, and they start to get more mainstream attention and thus mainstream funding. Would you agree with that statement, Brad?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I certainly would. Okay. And that's it. I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, I think that's you're right on point there, is that we have ignored muscle for a while, and I think the realization, especially, look, what is funded are things that are relevant to our health. The government is going to look to that, and the fact that sarcopenia now, we're living longer and we're not living better, we're living worse because of the people who don't exercise and they're losing muscle. So sarcopenia certainly is helping to drive a lot of this research, and absolutely, I think we're going to really start seeing major shifts in terms of our research focus over the next coming years.
Brad, will you ever start doing research on using peptides to augment these types of responses? You know, IGF-1 and mechanical growth factor are used abundantly by lots in the sports and fitness community, including myself. There's always the discussion of, a lot of these peptides are produced intramuscularly. Injecting them systemically doesn't do the same thing. Will you ever expand your research into that area, you think?
Yeah, certainly an interesting topic, and certainly on the immediate horizon, I'm looking at a little more practical things. Well, some of the issues, you touched on some of the issues there, that you don't know how to extrapolate endogenous injection of the substance versus exogenous versus the endogenous production of the substance. But also, you have to realize that there are also ethical issues in terms of being able to give people these types of peptides. It's a tricky thing when you're giving people, let's say, IGF-1. We don't know what the potential ramifications of that would be, and you have to, if you've ever had to deal with an IRB and try to tell them what you want to do, because it's not an easy thing a lot of times to get
getting
across.
Getting ethics approval is not always easy.
Well, obviously, you start with murine studies and rats and stuff like that, right? I mean, you could do it with rats. So, all right. Well, it's just interesting to me, because I know that this is an area that you are thoroughly invested in from the endogenous standpoint in its production, and I just wonder if there's ways to augment that response by using exogenous forms of these peptides. And it should enhance the discussion someday in the future. Hopefully we'll be able to address that. Listen, guys, first of all, thank you for such short notice and coming on the show. Number two, thank you for letting me scoop this discussion today about this study, which will be out probably in about next 60 days. Is that correct?
That's what we would assume. Again, it's up to the journal, but usually they publish it ahead of print within about 60 days after acceptance. So we would hope to have a link to that shortly.
Thank you so much for letting me scoop it here on Superhuman Radio today.
We always love coming on. You do a great job, Carl.
Thank you.
That's great interview.
I'm just always in search of getting stronger and bigger faster. So I'm looking for the same things that everybody in the audience is looking for. You know what I mean?
And
at 55 years old, it becomes increasingly more challenging for me to push my body to new levels of stress and intensity to continue to keep making gains. But I keep doing it. So that's it. Hey, listen, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Carl. We'll talk soon.
All right, so there you have it. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I've got an announcement I want to make when we come back. There's a part of the Superhuman Radio website that nobody pays attention to, and it is a plethora of value and information. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane. You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Hi, so there is an area of the Superhuman Radio website that very few people know about. And it's my fault, really. It's the articles area. And I know no one knows about it because every day or every couple days, Ginny Robards, who assists me on the show and finds guests and all that sort of stuff, publishes very mainstream stories, if you will, news stories, about health, longevity, and exercise, nutrition, everything. The same kind of stuff that you'd find on Natural News or any other popular website. And maybe even some stories you won't find there because we have a more specific focus here with physical culture and supplementation and hormone replacement therapy and so on and so forth. Like, here's some of the stories up there. A week's worth of camping syncs internal clock to sunrise and sunset. Many of us talk about circadian rhythm. We talk about the importance of being rhythmic with your sunrise, sunset, and that, you know, artificial light and computers and iPhones, that disrupts all that sort of stuff. This study done by Boulder, Colorado University shows that if you go camping for a week, it sinks you. Well, you don't have to go camping. The takeaway from this is just live without lights at night for a while. When it gets dark out in your house, let the light that gets into your house drive whether you go to sleep or not. This was actually discussed in Lights Out, the book about diabetes written by T.S. Wiley. There's another article, Living Longer, Living Healthier. Good news about people who have healthier lifestyles. They are living longer. Exercise may be the best medicine for Alzheimer's disease. Be happy. Your genes may thank you for it. coronary artery disease continues to be neglected in women despite its killing at least as many women as, yeah, I got to open this up, as men. You know, all of these stories are up there right now, and you can go and read them, and you can share them on Facebook or email them to friends. So we have a lot of good resources at SupremeRadio.com. I want more people to know about this because I know they come to the website for the show. They come to the website for the blog. They come to the website sometimes to get sponsor information. And then they go to other websites to get good articles. And you can get that stuff right here as well. And we're going to do a lot better job at posting even more stuff in the upcoming weeks. So tell your friends, remind yourself, that when you're at superhumanradio.com, to click the link to read some of the articles. And I promise you'll always find something interesting. There's plenty of them there. So check it out. Tomorrow's Thursday. Tomorrow we will be hosting Adele Musa as we perform the Subversity Science Roundup. And then, of course, on Friday we have Casual Friday. I appreciate you listening today. I appreciate you always listening to the show. And thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. Listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.